Governor Charlie Baker now has 10 days to decide whether to sign or kill a massive climate bill. The legislation, approved by the House and Senate yesterday on Beacon Hill, represents the state's first big update to the landmark 2008 Global Warming Solutions Act. It sets ambitious emissions reduction goals and, if signed into law, could radically transform the energy sector, building codes, transportation, and more. Here with us now to talk about what's in and not in the bill is WBUR environmental reporter Miriam Wasser. Good morning, Miriam, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Bob.
So if Governor Baker signs this bill, Massachusetts will have some of the strongest rules about reducing greenhouse gases in the country. What, in your view, is the top takeaway here?
So the bill takes our emissions from 1990 as a sort of base level and says that by 2030, we need to cut those emissions by 50%. And then we need to keep going until we hit net zero by 2050. It's an ambitious plan for sure. And here's how Senator Mike Barrett, one of the lead negotiators for the bill, put it to our colleague Tiziana Deering on Radio Boston yesterday.
We're going to have a lot more offshore wind energy, a lot of solar on a lot of roofs. We're going to need a lot of electric cars, and we're going to need different ways of keeping your house or apartment warm that don't rely on natural gas or heating oil.
So yeah, a lot of big changes coming down the pike if this passes. And I should note that this bill is largely focused on how state agencies and big energy actors operate. It's really all about trying to set us up for the clean energy future that lawmakers and environmentalists envision.
Explain how it accomplishes that.
Well, it requires the state to get a lot more of its energy from offshore wind, and it mandates that utilities purchase ever-increasing amounts of renewable energy. The bill also makes it easier for lower-income and minority communities to access the state's solar incentive program. And actually, it says that the state must prioritize putting up solar panels in these communities.
All right. And what about electric vehicles, since a lot of our emissions come from transportation?
They do, yeah, about 40% of our emissions statewide. So this legislation requires that the governor set goals for the number of electric vehicles that we should have on the road and the number of charging stations that we should have around the state. And this last point is really important because right now, a lot of people are concerned that if they buy an electric car, it won't be very functional because there aren't places to recharge it. So if those charging stations are up and running, it could really help make electric vehicles a lot more practical and desirable.
All right, let's turn to inside homes, as there are pieces of this legislation that address household appliances, right?
There are, yeah. The bill requires that Massachusetts adopt California's appliance efficiency standards, which means that when it comes time for you to replace your dishwasher or air conditioner, you'll have to get a super efficient one. And one figure that I came across yesterday that really sticks out is an estimate from the nonprofit Environment Massachusetts that says that if we pass this bill, residents of the state will collectively save about $145 million a year by 2025 in energy bills. And Bob, if you're into some friendly state-to-state competition, just know that in years past, Massachusetts has been the most energy-efficient state, but we narrowly lost that coveted spot to California this year. And apparently, if we pass this bill, we will be number one again.
One of the questions that I've heard from people out there in the community is, how much is this going to cost me to purchase these appliances, for example? Is there an answer to that question?
It's a great question, and I will admit that I haven't seen any specific figures about that, but people that I've talked to said that, yeah, there's probably a good chance you'll pay a bit more upfront for that new dishwasher, but in the long run, they say you're going to save a lot of money.
All right, lofty goals in this bill, but what else is in it?
Yeah, so a couple other really big things include a measure that would allow cities and towns to limit emissions from newly constructed buildings. And this is huge, since right now municipalities are not allowed to mandate buildings have net zero emissions, even though a lot of them want to. And another sort of like really in the weeds, but really, really important thing this bill does is say that the Department of Public Utilities needs to consider climate impacts and emissions when approving new projects. And Bob, this is one of those things that probably makes your eyes gloss over, but the DPU has a ton of power. So having the goal of mitigating climate change right up there with safety and cost is a huge deal.
What about environmental justice? Did provisions addressing that make it into the final draft?
They did. So this bill defines what are called environmental justice communities, places where a certain percentage of the population is lower income, a racial minority, or has limited English skills. And it sets out rules for how these communities need to be included in discussions about policy and new development or infrastructure. And this is the first time that the state has codified something like this into law. So I definitely don't want to undersell it. But I should say that a lot of advocates were disappointed to learn that the language doesn't require the state or any other developer to consider something called cumulative impacts. Basically, when the state is weighing whether to approve a project like a pipeline, trash incinerator, or power plant, it has to consider whether it will harm the community. But it doesn't necessarily need to take into account how it might add to existing pollution that already harms the community. And so this is something we're likely to hear a lot more about during the next legislative session.
What else do you want to tell us about regarding the bill?
Yeah, so I know that there was a lot of confusion about how this bill would impact wood-burning biomass facilities like the one proposed for Springfield, and I just want to clear that up. This bill does not put a moratorium on biomass plants, and it does not impact the proposed rule changes we reported on a couple of weeks ago, and these are the ones that would make plants like this eligible for renewable energy subsidies. But this bill does require the state to study the climate and health impacts of biomass, which is a big win for environmentalists and public health advocates.
WBUR's Miriam Wasser, thanks a lot for speaking with us this morning, and we'll see what the governor does later.
Anytime.